This episode is produced with support from DBT Wellcome Trust India Alliance.
During Republic Day's Beating the Retreat ceremony in January 2022, New Delhi's monuments and skies were a canvas for celebration. Rashtrapati Bhavan, the Indian President's official residence, was lit up in the colors of the national flag. Then suddenly, a globe appeared overhead and rotated in the air, mirroring the earth's movements. Soon, this morphed into a map of India. All of this was made possible through engineering, a nifty combination of aeronautical, electronics, electrical, mechanical, and robotics engineering. What people saw was the work of a swarm of drones, adding color, light, and pride to the Republic Day festivities of India. So what made this eco-friendly technology possible? Who controlled these automated aerial vehicles with the utmost precision? On this episode of the Nature India podcast series called I Am a Scientist and This Is Where I Walk, join me, Shubhra Priyadarshini, as I make a beeline for Sarita Ehlawat and her lab at the Indian Institute of Technology in Delhi. That's where all the drone action takes place. We are going to learn all about how these little flying machines, sometimes no bigger than the palm of your hand, go from the lab to the skies in perfect synchrony.
We are one of the few groups in the country who are working on drone swarm technology. When you have multiple drones operated by a single user, it's called drone swarm. So now you can have very many applications of this technology. And it's very easy because single person is operating. And we have developed the capability to connect more than 1,000 drones.
The first drone was built in 1907 and was called a quadcopter. And its successful liftoff was only just about 2 feet. But it paved the way for the starting of an exciting industry. Drones hit the consumer market back in 2006 and have become quite popular. Today, of course, we've come a long way networking of drones, or swarming, as it is called in drone lingo, offers tremendous benefits to almost every sector of the economy. Agriculture, law enforcement, geospatial mapping, delivery, photography, marketing, and I could go on. Interestingly, drone technology forms a key part of many countries' defense and disaster management programs as well. But first, back to Sarita and her team at BotLab Dynamics. Her workplace quite literally buzzes with ideas and cutting-edge technology.
Very soon, you will hear a drone buzzing around me. So one constant noise that you hear in our lab is the drone, small drones flying. We are testing them, calibrating them, getting them ready for the flight. We have two streams in the lab. And please don't mind the noise that is around me. One of the drone is now flying near me. And my colleague Sujit is doing is he's calibrating the system and is qualifying for the flight.
This is a day in Sarita's life for more than 6 years now. She has a PhD in microbiology, but what interests her is developing smart and sensitive diagnostic tools and monitoring devices. After working a couple of years in the US, she has returned to IIT Delhi. That's when she started to collaborate with Tanmay Bunkar and Manoj Kumar, both engineering physicists from IIT Delhi.
Together, three of us realized that India as a country is doing very well when it comes to software solutions. But when it comes to hardware building, our ecosystem is really poor. So we do not make state-of-the-art microscopes or cell phone computers, smartwatch. So this was a common point, or rather pain point, that we had felt over the years.
Okay, so the goal was to develop a homegrown drone made in India. So how else are the drones made in your lab different from other commercially available drones?
These drones can be operated just by a single user, and each drone is fitted with a programmable LED light. And using these drones, and we can create very many interesting formations in the sky. These drones are very small. They will fit in the in your hand, and they're very lightweight. I'll tell you a small story that what brought us to actually building things in India in-house. So we had one time, it was in 2019, we had built a swarm of 10 drones. And they were very smart system, could scan a 1 kilometer square area. And we built this system very smart, with fitted with camera, could go to 10 kilometers, identify an object and take some action. And we took these systems to Pokhran. And you know Pokhran in Rajasthan and has very harsh conditions, not only in terms of temperature, but we are also talking wind, dusty. And it was something that we've never experienced before. Not only we, our drones had never experienced something like that. And drones were performing so well at IIT Delhi campus. But in Pokhran, the performance was reduced to 30%, and drones were falling apart, and we were trying to fix them. So after coming back from Pokhran, we had this realization that the drone we were thinking we built was actually we assembled it. We were using a flight controller, which is the brain of the drone, that is manufactured in Europe. And in Europe, you never see such weather conditions. So most of the electronic components we had put together. So none of the component that time was made by us, but we knew how to put the components together and put our algorithms on it. So that was a realization that if we want to make any solution, every component has to listen to us and has to work in Indian conditions. So literally against the advice of everybody, we left everything and we started focusing on designing from scratch.
That's an important realization indeed. So let's learn more about what a drone light show entails. These drones are programmed to fly in 3D space to make a identifiable visual form, such as maps, symbols, faces or messages. To do this, an animation is prepared based on the requirements, which entails days of calculation, testing, coding, and of course, teamwork. So how does a day's work go by? What happens in the lab before you can wow audiences with this display in the skies?
So usually we have two teams in-house. One is a hardware team that designs. So hardware has two component. One is we design the casing, how the drone should look. So we work on CAD models and we do 3D printing. So if you come to our lab, you'll see several 3D printers are working and making the casing ready. And the other team works on the designing of the electronics. So our team of engineers and artists first imagine how it's going to be. Animation is created, and that animation is then coded on each drone, and then we test them on the ground. Third team would be the field testing team. So after the drones are ready, they are taken to the ground and numerous health checkups are done on each drone to make sure that the drone doesn't cross a certain area and is healthy to fly around people. Because what we do is watched live by people. So we have to be very sure that the security, both of the drone and people is carefully thought about.
Right, let's talk more about that. There's a public concern that these devices might pose a security and privacy risk, or if they fail, they could damage property and injure people. So I suppose when you're working with hundreds or thousands of drones in a swarm rather than just one, that becomes a whole lot more complicated. How do you manage that?
I mean, that's actually a most important question. We used to do these test flights under net. So nets that we use for cricket practicing. So we actually made a temporary jugaad kind of a solution that we would fly under these nets which were meant for cricket testing. Because see, cricket net is very small. So, of course, when you fly them to 140 meters, something can go wrong. So, we do not take chance. So, what we have done as a security precaution, and it has taken us 1 year of coding. So, we do something called geofencing. So, we create a fence on each drone. Will stay only in a defined area. So let's say if I'm making a formation in Rashtrapati Bhavan, so I do not want my drone to cross and, you know, go meet Prime Minister, because then I will be in a lot of trouble. So what we did is we created a geo fence. And so if the drone, let's say some sensor has gone off and now the drone is not listening to any of the commands that we have put in, once it crosses the geo fence, what we have put on each drone is that it will commit a suicide. It will fall as soon as it's tried to cross the geo fence. And I just want to say, because, you know, we are all scientists and we're talking science, it's always, you can never have 100% guarantee. Some drone might have this failure, and we have seen sometimes, but this geo fencing has kind of saved us. So they have committed suicide, and they, like, we call it kill switch. So they just switch off and they fall.
Incredible. Who knew drones have to pass tests and die by suicide if they fail? These light shows and formations are certainly very awe-inspiring, but clearly time-consuming.
We do some pre-flight tests. So we take the final formation flight, and in that, the drones go in batches. So now, the interesting point is that every drone precisely knows that where it needs to be. And the accuracy that we have is around 10 centimeters. And that is how these interesting formations can be created. And after they land, we again, you know, to put the batteries off. They, you know, disconnect them from the battery and then put them back into the racks. And then the drones are taken back to the lab, and then we look at their log files, how every drone performed.
What Sarita is describing in just a few minutes actually takes days and weeks of refining and fine-tuning. Despite days of conceptualization, testing, and of course these hiccups that you've mentioned, I'd love to know what satisfies you most about this work. Would you want to share a happy moment or a career high point with us?
Whenever we make something and it flies, I mean, that is always the most exciting part of our... So I always remember when we flew just four drones, and they flew in absolute precision. That was back in 2021, January. It was just four drones, and they were only making a square. And they were going about numerous times. They made a square in the sky. Like small children, we were jumping and screaming and being very happy. So every time we cross a milestone, something works. It brings extreme happiness. We really enjoy those moments.
It's certainly cause for happiness when a scientific pursuit that demands such precision and untiring effort is successful. We're excited to see the new heights Sarita and her team will achieve through this technology. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share this episode of the Nature India podcast with friends and colleagues, and check out our archives for more in both English and Hindi. When we meet next, we'll wander the dense forests and venture into the world of insects and birds, the workplace of our next featured scientist in this series. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Shubhra Priyadarshini, and this is the Nature India podcast, your go-to podcast for all things science in India.
This episode was produced with support from DBT Wellcome Trust India Alliance.